Okay, so what I want to talk about today is to see if we can save ourselves a little bit of work and characterize the entire dry end of the moisture characteristic curve with a single point. So here's a moisture characteristic curve and a scale that's not very useful to us. If we now plot that with our water potential units in a logarithmic scale, then it assumes the familiar form that we're used to. Now, if we zoom in a little bit more on the dry end, notice we're ranging from about -1 megapascal all the way to air dry at something a little bit less than a -100 megapascals, then if we have this semi-log plot, then this moisture characteristic curve becomes very well-behaved and very nice and linear. And we see this behavior in many soils. In fact, I've seen this behavior in lots and lots of soils. And this argues that, others, especially in the geotechnical literature, have picked up on this and started using the slope of that semi-log plot to tell us about various parameters of the soil. The geotechs, you can see here in the graph that this is PF, which is, of course, the log of water potential and something used by our friends in Europe quite a bit. If you plot that against water content, you get these nice linear plots, and the slope of those tell you if a soil is an expansive soil, if you'll have shrink swell behavior in that soil. Also, the slope of that semi-log plot can give you information about the soil-specific surface area. Okay, so this is pretty well documented that we get this nice linear behavior. We all know that two points define a line, so we should be able to just measure two points on our moisture characteristic curve in this dry end and reconstruct this information. So maybe we use an air dry point, and maybe we use a point that's a little bit more moist, and we have all the information we need without having to measure all of these points that we have in between those. So you can see that this works, of course, for all of these soils that have the linear behavior. Okay. Now I want to talk about the zero water content intercept in the concept there. Something you notice about these plots is they all appear to be extrapolating to the same point at zero water content. So if you extrapolate these out down to zero water content, you'll notice that they all point and they all go through a point at -1,000 megapascals at zero water content. Okay? And I'm not talking about oven dry water content. Galen just talked about how oven dry water content is a bit of a moving target depending on temperature that you dry at and the vapor pressure in your lab, but this is a true zero water content, which doesn't exist, but as far as an extrapolation anchor point for the moisture characteristic curve, I think it's a valid concept. So there's our zero water content intercept. Okay, that's -1,000 megapascals, PF7, -2 of a chi value, which is a thermodynamic term, and that turns into about 0.06% relative humidity. Okay. Now, if all of our moisture characteristic curves extrapolate through this zero water content intercept, that gives us one of the two points that we need. So now we should be able to reproduce this dry end behavior by measuring a single water content, water potential pair somewhere in this dry range. So maybe we measure it air dry and reproduce. Probably we wouldn't choose to do that because we would have to extrapolate a lot. Maybe we choose a little bit moister point and interpolate the rest of that moisture characteristic curve. And this concept is not particularly new either. Some also in the geotechnical literature have adopted techniques of equilibrating soil samples over saturated sodium chloride, which brings them to 75% relative humidity or -40 megapascals, and using the water content at that known water potential level to determine the shrink swell behavior of the soil. And this is essentially the same thing. I've drawn, you know, the interpolations here from that one point moisture characteristic curve out to the zero water content intercept, and you get reasonable results with this. So, are you guys convinced? Okay, I was convinced of this for sure up until a couple of years ago when we started making some more measurements. And so we at Decagon developed this vapor sorption analyzer that I think there will be several talks here. I think Marcus maybe will give a talk and others using this instrument. This is a fully automated instrument that gives the moisture characteristic curve and the dry water potential range that we're talking about. It generates automatically the drying and wetting legs of the hysteresis loop, and it gives us a lot better data density than what we had previously. And so we decided to take a little bit closer look at this zero water content intercept generating both the wetting and drying curves, and using some well-known soils and some that aren't so well-known. Four of the soils we used were from Galen and Shoshi Ozawa's paper back in 1992 that's been cited a lot of times. Also some well-characterized soils from the Texas A&M soil library, and we also threw in bentonite, okay, some sodium bentonite, highly expansive clay. So here's the results. Well, you can see that in our sandy soils down here at the bottom, our zero water content intercept and our linearity seems to be a valid method of doing this. And if you squint really hard, okay, you might be able to convince yourself that we have linearity and that these lines extrapolate through that point that I drew. But I am not so sure that that's true. So let's look a little bit at hysteresis. The previous slide that I showed, these are just the adsorption curves. Okay, of course, we measured both adsorption and desorption curves. And we do see hysteresis in all, especially in the high clay samples that you'll see on the top part of the graph. You wouldn't think to see hysteresis in pure sand samples, but if you zoom in on these samples, you do indeed see hysteresis even in the very dry end of the moisture characteristic curve. And so what is the implication of this? Well, first of all, we're going to get fundamentally different moisture characteristic curves depending on if we adsorb or desorb to create those curves. Okay, and this is something that is not specific to the single point moisture characteristic curve that I'm talking about. This is specific to all moisture characteristic curves. And as Hans-Jörg pointed out earlier today in the first talk, this is something that many of us tend to sweep under the rug. And so I would suggest that we need to give this better treatment than just talking about it in the introduction of the paper. We probably should pay more attention to this. So, of course, this affects our single-point moisture characteristic curve. The zero water content intercept is still pretty much valid. Both of the adsorption and desorption curves extrapolate pretty closely to that point, but you'd better specify and understand if you're going to be dealing with a adsorption or desorption process when you're using these for instance, modeling. We also see quite a bit of nonlinearity in the high clay samples, and especially in the samples that have 2-to-1 or expansive clays. And so you can see the inflection points in all of these high clay samples that I have plotted here. These are not linear at all. So if you took your single point moisture characteristic curve here, you're going to get a different curve than if you take your point at a higher or wetter water potential. And so this is a bit of a problem, and this is something that we haven't observed before with the older measurement techniques, but now that we have a little bit better data density, it's easier to observe these inflection points that have to do with clay layer hydration and also with cation hydration on these clay soils. So now let's look at the extreme case. Okay, here we have our bentonite, okay, which is still a soil, and so if we tried to come up with a zero water content intercept for this bentonite, okay, we could get a point pretty much anywhere we wanted, depending on which portion of that of the data we fit and if we use the adsorption or desorption curve. Interestingly, on the adsorption curve in the very dry end, we do actually extrapolate out with the red arrow to the zero water content intercept point that I've been talking about, but I would be extremely hesitant to base solid conclusions on a one-point moisture characteristic curve in a soil as complex as this. So the take-home points, the things that I'd like hopefully for you guys to think about a little bit is, well, first I want to answer my question. Is a single-point water characteristic curve valid? Well, kind of. It's probably valid in a sandy soil, in a coarse-textured soil without a lot of swelling clays. So it may be useful in some instances. The other take-home points are that we do need to pay attention to hysteresis. The hysteretic effects will produce fundamentally different moisture characteristic curves on the drying leg as opposed to the wetting leg in all soils, as far as we can tell, even at the very dry range where we are dealing mostly with water that's sorbent to soil surfaces. And finally, I wanted to say that the nonlinearity in the high clay soils, especially in the 2-to-1 clays, really confounds the single-point soil moisture characteristic curve method, and so use this technique at your own peril. Thanks.
Thank you. Question? Yep.
I think there is room for standardizing that. The problem is that this negative 1,000 megapascal zero water content point is really not achievable. I mean, certainly zero water content is not achievable. So probably a better way to deal with this would be to standardize and say, here's the temperature we're going to cook at, and here's the vapor pressure that we're going to induce in that atmosphere, and then you get a repeatable measurement that's not a moving target. It's not, of course, zero water content, but it's not a moving target anymore if you control vapor pressure. Yeah, I mean, again, as long as we standardize, it seems like we as a soils community have decided for some historical reasons that 105 C is a good measurement, you know, a good temperature to measure that, and we could stick with that and then, you know, use the a dry vapor pressure, maybe use desiccated air, for instance, for the atmosphere, and then we have something that's not arbitrary, and I think that's the best we could do. Well, I think that this is a bit of an artifact, okay? This instrument only measures up to negative 10 megapascals at the wet end, okay? It only works in the very dry end. So that desorption curve is actually a scanning isotherm, meaning that if we were to extend this out further, I believe that hysteresis would actually increase as you go further toward the wet end. We didn't look into that closely, but I'm absolutely certain that that's the case, that the higher specific surface area and the greater that slope, that the more deviation you get and the higher chance. I mean, when you get into the 2-to-1 clays and you have interlayer water, then that's really what causes those inflections that we see in the curves. I will encourage you to stick around and wait for the publications that Ning Lu is going to put out in the next couple of years that are looking at exactly that.
Yeah. All right, our time is up. Thank you very much.